gotta leave your money behind you. Raise your hand to...
Welcome back to another episode of Give Me Some Truth. I'm in the office today with Stan and Syl, and we're going to talk about a newer topic in the industry and one that we're very excited about. But before we get to that, and I'm already frustrated with myself that I'm going to do this and apologize for the next 3 to 5 minutes for people listening, but Stan.
Oh, no.
Lionel Messi landed in Miami.
That's right.
Messi. We can all breathe again, right? We can all, he's there. It's the world can move on now. We can actually get back to our lives.
It's actually happened. The greatest player of all time has joined the worst team in MLS. And because it is MLS and he is the greatest player of all time, it'll be really interesting to see where the deck shuffles after.
He landed in the right city for pomp and circumstance.
Not only Messi, but some friends of Messi. You know, Messi's got an entourage of world-class players that will also doubt follow him to Miami. So this is going to be very, very interesting.
So that's my fault. I started him on.
No, that's fine. We had to get it out of the way.
I went down the path.
I understand.
Okay, so we want to talk about what's called direct indexing. Direct indexing is something that we're very excited about at Walkner Condon. We will first disclose that we don't think it's the right fit for everybody in every situation, and it's not the greatest thing since sliced bread kind of thing, but it is an exciting new way of thinking about investing. And I think that it's going to give flexibility and customization to a lot of people that are looking for that in their portfolios. So can you give us a quick 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minute breakdown on just the idea of direct indexing and kind of what it means for people?
Sure. So the general idea with direct indexing is that, say, you want to invest in stocks, right? You want to invest in equities.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to invest in a way that's consistent with the S&P 500, for example. The S&P 500 being, you know, the flagship, most famous U.S. large cap stock index, right?
So simply the largest 500 companies.
Exactly.
Ranked
listed
from biggest
in
to
New
smallest.
York, right?
Yep.
So say you want to invest in that. What most people typically do is they'll buy a mutual fund that tracks the S&P 500.
Like the SPY.
Or an ETF like SPY that tracks the S&P 500. So as an alternative to that, you could also have a direct indexing solution where in its most simple form, you would basically own the underlying stocks directly. So instead of looking at your account statement and you would see one position, which is a fund or an ETF that tracks an underlying basket of stocks, you would directly own the stocks in the index, right? So it's effectively just a managed account solution that involves owning individual stocks as opposed to doing it through a mutual fund or an ETF.
Right.
In the most basic terms, that's
even the
what
most
direct
basic
indexing is.
Direct indexing that you've described, that's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But even that's a little more sophisticated than it probably sounds to the uninterested. Mm-hmm. I won't say uneducated. We'll just say people who haven't been introduced to direct indexing, because you don't own the same amounts of those 500 companies, right? It's cap weighted.
Sure.
And caps shift
right
daily.
Sure.
Right? And so there's a lot that goes into
like
composing that
right
self-directed account.
Yeah, absolutely.
Correctly.
So as part of a direct indexing solution, not only would you own the stocks, but you would also give a mandate to a manager to periodically rebalance your portfolio to continue to track an index, right? And so you're right to point out that it's not new in the sense that there's always been managed accounts,
right?
What's new is just that increasingly it is possible to have a direct indexing solution. Even as a retail investor, you don't need, you know, tens of millions of dollars to do that. And also increasingly you're able to customize that equity mandate more and more. Whereas before you used to be really restricted. There were very few options. Nowadays, you can build a direct indexing mandate and basically you can tailor it to exactly what you want to do. So I took the very basic, simple idea of tracking the S&P 500, but you can also use it to track a global stock index. You can even track it. You can even
or
track
a blended index.
Yeah, a blended index. Maybe an index that is not market cap weighted. You can also introduce particular tilts or tactical views within that mandate.
Value-based tilt.
You can have a value-based tilt, dividend tilt. You can also, as part of that service, incorporate ideas such as ESG investing, environmental, social, and governance. Based investing.
A social responsibility tilt.
Exactly.
You could even put a social irresponsibility tilt on it.
If you wanted. You have full flexibility, right?
A vice tilt.
And you can also, and a big part of, so that's kind of the high level of a view of what direct indexing is about. So now we can talk about the benefits, perhaps, of direct indexing, right? As opposed to just buying a fund. And so one important thing is this idea of tax alpha, right? So tax alpha is this idea that within the direct indexing solution, the manager is also going to be very aggressive about realizing tax losses, mm-hmm. right? So what that means is with a well-managed direct indexing mandate, you can track, say, the S&P 500. So at the end of the year, you have the same performance as the index. But on top of that, you have a bunch of tax losses on your 1099.
Yeah, let me jump in just for a second. Let me try to give, I'm trying to think as you were talking, the most simplistic way that we can explain this, because this does start to get into the weeds a little bit. Especially if this isn't, you know, your cup of tea in terms of what you like to think about or spend your time looking at. So if you own two investments in a taxable account, let's be clear there. So we're not talking about IRA accounts. We're talking about accounts that we get a 1099 at the end of the year. Let's say we just had two investments, right? And one had a capital gain of $500 and one had a capital loss of $500, right? And you decided to sell both of those investments after, say, 2 years, right? Your tax bill would essentially be zero, or another way to say it is you're going to offset the gain with the loss. I'm oversimplifying things greatly, but just for illustration purposes, okay? However, if at the end of 2 years you sold the investment that had lost 500, but you did not sell the investment that had gained 500, you can use that $500 realized loss on your taxes to benefit your situation. And you do not have to pay the tax on the $500 investment the position that went up $500 because you didn't sell that yet. So the idea of when you sell things and selling them at losses can actually be a huge gain or add to what Syl's referring to by way of what we in the industry refer to as tax alpha, or just kind of an additional benefit, an additional return, if you want to think about it that way, for lack of a better way to explain it, by having a better tax managed account than simply owning, as Stan alluded to, SPY, where you just get the 1099 at the end of the year.
Yes,
exactly. Well said. And the beauty of tax loss harvesting in a managed account with hundreds of stocks is that there's always something that's losing money.
Right.
So you always have the opportunity to realize losses in an account that is managed that way, which is not always the case if you just own a mutual fund or own an ETF, right? And that's why direct indexing solutions are so efficient at giving managers the ability to produce this tax alpha. Yes.
Stan, why are you excited about it? What?
Well, I mean, so there's as an international advisor,
yeah,
you know, the tax alpha sounds very sexy and can be meaningful for people. Like they might, you know, be selling their business down the line. We might be working on an exit strategy for them to get out of their business. When they do sell their business, there's going to be some ordinary income. There's going to be some capital gain, right? And building up like somewhat artificial losses in a portfolio that hopefully has still been growing all along is some magical way to boost, you know, like returns in the sense of even beyond the stuff that we're actually managing, right?
Right.
So that's pretty amazing. What really excites me about this is the choice element of it, right? I mean, a lot of our clients live in other countries and are, you know, reporting taxes in other currencies, to where having a high turnover, frequent trading way to build up U.S. tax losses has to be monitored to make sure that you're not actually, you know, triggering negative consequence on the resident country tax side, right? So, sure. So it's still possible to do this effectively and tax efficiently and for it to be a benefit in another country. But it's going to kind of depend on where you live, right? How useful this is. But in terms of the value-based side, you know, I remember one time spending hours to try to research a client's desire after, I think it was after Columbine or it was after Sandy Hook. I can't remember anymore, right? It was back when like shootings weren't a daily occurrence in the United States, right?
Exactly.
So they wanted to get rid of any gun manufacturers in their portfolio. And I'm like, okay, well, you only, you know, you have hundreds of thousands of dollars of gain in your S&P 500 position. Do you seriously want me to sell all of it? I had to do all kinds of research to basically point out that they had like $1,500 in a several million dollar portfolio worth of gun manufacturer exposure. They could realize taxable gains that would cost them tens of thousands in tax liability.
Right.
To get this preference.
Because you can't extract that $1,500.
Because you can't extract out of it, right? Index. I mean, right. So, you know, and now we have ESG ETFs. But even that, you know, one has to wonder, okay, is there a magical ETF that is reflecting my values completely, right? So this ability to go in and completely scratch off certain companies, certain, you know, subsectors of the economy that you don't want to deal with, you know, that's powerful. Okay. As an advisor, the ability to say, okay, well, we're going to follow these basic, you know, this basic index, but, you know, hey, I want the dividend providers, for example, to be a tilt, right? Or I want a value-based tilt because I feel like, you know, we've got a lot of S&P and other sources, and it's kind of growthy, right? Whatever. But the customization of it is incredible. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that I think that the way I looked at ETFs when I got into this business in 2004 was, wow, this is really different. I'm not sure if it's going to catch on, you know. And, you know, or I'm not sure that, you know, that advisors are going to use this product, right? Now I look at direct indexing and I see this as, at the advisory level, at the very least, catching up to the ETF business very quickly.
And I want to go back to one thing the point that Sil made earlier, which was this idea of direct indexing has been around for a while, but unfortunately it's been around for people that had, you know, portfolios in the 10 and 50 and $100 million level. And that's what a lot of our industry over the last 15 to 20 years has dedicated time and effort and energy to. How do we take these concepts that are used in and benefit people that have, you know, uber wealth?
Yeah, like foundations.
Exactly. How do we boil these down and get these down so that more kind of normal everyday investors can use them? And so we've seen this as a trend, even in things like what are called SMAs and other types of investments that didn't used to be available to kind of more everyday investors now are. And I think that's a really exciting kind of move within our business, because I think that there's a push to say, how do we get this into more people's hands?
And get managed accounts at an expense level that can compete with ETFs.
Exactly, at a cost that makes sense. It's not so cost prohibitive. Okay, that's 30,000 feet. Sil, help us get down to 20,000 feet in terms of how do we use it here at Wachner Condon? Because I think that there's a lot of companies doing direct indexing now. There's a lot of firms that are offering it, which is great. We don't offer every different flavor and style. We do it the way we do it. Can you just take a couple minutes and kind of go through just the process that we have, even including the questionnaire and kind of how people identify what's important to them?
Sure. So one of the great benefits of direct indexing is how transparent it is, right? So it's the ability to own stocks directly and see exactly what you own in your portfolio, right? So first of all, we are obviously going to go through our suitability process to try to understand if direct indexing is the right fit for you. And there could be a number of reasons why the answer would be no. But assuming that you're a good fit for a direct indexing solution, we're going to help you define what the mandate is supposed to look like, right? So do you want to invest just in the US? Do you want to invest globally? You know, how aggressive do you want to be with the investment mandate? And we're also going to make sure that the mandate that we put in place is consistent with our own views and convictions and the priorities that, you know, we within the investment committee have outlined. Right. And really, with the flexibility of direct indexing, we're able to do that, right? So, for example, we want to stay diversified. We like global investing. We may have a tilt towards value or growth, or we may favor certain sectors. So we are going to help you define the right mandate based on what you want and also what we believe is the right position. And then we are.
That's something you couldn't do with ETFs, right?
That's something
I've called Vanguard and suggested that they, you know, that they throw on a tilt on an ETF, and they've never done it.
Exactly. And then if we get even more granular, we can then talk about what's important to you, not necessarily in terms of purely investment and performance, but also your personal values.
Right.
So what do you actually care about? Are there, you know, ideas that you want to support? Are there things that you want to avoid entirely, right? And going back to your point, Stan, about ETFs being very limited in that regard, it's true that ETFs, you can buy an ETF that says ESG on it, but then there's a formula behind it, and that's it. You're stuck within that structure, and you can't, there's no way to change it, right?
Right.
With direct indexing, we can sit down with you, go over like an actual questionnaire that's going to ask you, okay, are there sectors you want to remove? Are there industries that you want to remove, right? So, and we can get really granular and we can come up with something that is very personalized, right? So if you want to be diversified, you want to own the whole index, but you don't want tobacco and you don't want civilian weapons or something,
right?
We can exclude that, right?
Right.
So it really gives us the ability to propose and manage a portfolio that is consistent with what we're trying to do from an investment suitability standpoint, and also incorporate very personal values that otherwise you wouldn't really have a way to capture.
And I think too that one thing that got popular was the idea of ESG and socially responsible, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't, That doesn't encompass the entire population, right? There are some people that don't want to invest with socially responsible, as weird as that sounds to say, right? But they do want to put other, you know, restrictions or other additions to their portfolio, and we can do that.
For example, you know, like if you want to, there's this idea of whitelist and blacklist, right?
Sure.
So maybe there are companies that you absolutely want to include in the mandate, even if they're not obvious.
I'd like to maybe own more of it.
Right. Sure, absolutely.
So we're able to do that. That's called a whitelist. So I always want to own these five stocks. No problem. We'll take that on board. We'll build it into the mandate, and we'll make sure that we respect that preference that you have. You can also have a blacklist. There are five companies, so you don't even need to define it in terms of sectors or industries.
Right.
You can just say, I don't like these five companies. I think they're bad guys. I want to remove them.
Sure. Or I just think this company's headed for the toilet, right?
Right.
Exactly. Right. It could absolutely be based on your own just, view of the like, financial world.
I think they're going down.
Right. Right. Well, and I think it's a good point too, because I think people lose sight of the fact that these indexes are not the same every year, year in and year out. No. The S&P 500 is not the same 500 companies every single year because companies
merge.
Get smaller, they merge, things happen, go bankrupt, they get bought out by other companies. So you could mandate it to say, regardless of what index this company falls in, I want to always own it, and you will in direct indexing.
Yeah. And with direct indexing, you can do all of that without losing sight of the goal, which is generally to invest in a way that's consistent with the mandate, which is to track an index.
Right.
Right. So, but obviously the more constraints you place on, the management of your account, the more likely it is that your performance is going to deviate a little bit from the index. But even that is something we're able to quantify.
Right.
We can say, okay, because there are all these restrictions, there's going to be what we call tracking error, which is just this idea that the performance might deviate a little bit from the index. And we can quantify that. We could say, look, given the constraints, you would have 3% tracking error. And at that point, you can say, well, that's acceptable. Or it's not, right? And if it's not, we need to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, I think I hope people can glean from the conversation that we've had today in terms of why we're excited about it. We've always stood upon the principle at Walkner Condon that we want to not only do what's in the best interest of our clients, but also try to give them what they want. If somebody wants something specialized, if somebody wants something customized, we want to be able to try to adhere to that as best we can. And I think this just gives us one more tool in the toolbox. Is it for everybody? No, it's not going to work for everybody. It depends on your kind of the makeup of your portfolio. It depends on the country you live in. It depends on how frequently you need to take withdrawals. It depends on a lot of things.
You still need to have like one pretty good sized account too.
That exactly. Yeah.
It can't be spread out amongst 10 different accounts. It's not quite there yet.
That's a good point. And you know, not to make light of, any amount of money, but it does need to be a sizable enough, a portfolio to be able to actually make the system work. Otherwise, we there's not enough there to be able to function. This is not a good solution for, starting a Roth IRA with, $6,500. That's not a good solution. And so our job is to counsel you through, is it a good solution for you? If it is a good solution, explain it to you. Do you understand it? Are you comfortable with it? Do you like it? If yes, okay, then we can get you into the questionnaire that we have to help you to not only better understand the process in general, but to understand what options are available. Because I think for a lot of people, it'll pose questions to you that you may never even have thought about in your investing life. You might have thought, but I've never even thought whether that's important or not important or whatever it might be. So we're pretty excited about it for those reasons and the fact that we're confident that it'll continue to get better year in and year out as it gets more popular and as
it's a function of technology.
Just a function of technology. I was going to say
computing speed. The software gets upgraded and advanced every year.
Yeah,
so it's only going to get better. We hope, right? And we have reason to believe.
Yeah, I think we're. And it's funny that you mentioned 2004 the kind of the advent of ETFs, and I remember that time in 2006 when I got into the business, and it was such a new, odd in a way, but exciting in a way concept. It was a little bit like you weren't quite sure. Wait, it's a mutual fund, but it trades like a stock, but it's okay. What this has a similar feel. I got to say, this does have a similar feel in that way. So we're excited about it. So. Any last thoughts before we wrap up?
No, I think that's it. Again, the key benefits, the ability to, incorporate all your personal preferences, including ESG, and, huge tax alpha, so tax loss harvesting benefits. That makes the solution pretty unique.
And transparency.
And transparency, knowing exactly what you own.
Clients come to us with, portfolios that may not be, the optimal allocation. And usually there's going to be some in a taxable account, there's going to be some pain associated with getting them where, we think they should want to be.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So anything that can create tax alpha can also, provide, the ability to transition with less pain. Right.
Right. Yeah, we can strike that balance of kind of the diversified portfolio that we're looking for, and do it either faster, do it more efficiently. Do it faster, meaning we might not have to wait 3 or 4 tax years to get it done. We might be able to get it done in 1 or 2, you know. So there's a reason why we put Stand and Sell on this podcast with me. This works for international clients. If it's right for you, it works for domestic clients if it's right for you. So there's a reason why we have representation from both sides on the podcast. Again, I hope our enthusiasm is showing through, because this is something that we really think is going to be a leader in the industry over the next few years. It's newer from the standpoint that we've only been involved with it in months, not years. So don't think you've missed the boat that we didn't. Why didn't you tell me about this 3 years ago? We weren't doing it 3 years ago. So again, as these things come in front of us and we get more comfortable with them as a firm, then we roll them out to clients, and that's more of what 2023 and 2024 is going to be identified by is the kind of institution of direct indexing for those that it makes sense for. So again, thanks so much for your time. If you have more questions on this, absolutely reach out to us. We can get you information that's particular to your situation. But otherwise, we'll see you on the next episode of Give Me Some Truth.
Wachter Kahn Financial Advisors is a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training. The opinions expressed by the participants of this podcast are their own and do not reflect the opinions of Wachter Kahn Financial Advisors. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although it should not be relied upon as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for any individual. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Thanks for listening, and for further information, please visit WachnerKahn.com.